Oh, absolutely. Like every single day, you know, when you wake up, just think of it as a new day. So if you missed it yesterday, the next day is just a great chance to just get back to it. And then, you know, your streak may last 5 days, 6 days, and you may break it again, but that's fine. As long as you do, just keep getting back to it.
It's so difficult. Maybe it's OCD or something like that, but I hear what you're saying. I'm going to make an effort. We're speaking with Benjamin Spall. He is the author of My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. Something that you talked about really resonated with me, and that is context switching. I cannot tell you how often I end up like switching from one thing to another to another. There's an email that I have to answer. There's a phone call that I have to answer. I go back and forth, and often it's the result of not planning. But I so often have the desire to just let the call, whenever I can, go to voicemail. just put off the email for a while, just so I can focus, because I feel instinctively that when I'm just focused, that's when I get the most done, when I'm just doing one single thing. Is that what you found with most people?
Yeah, that's exactly what we've found. And I think research shows us as well. When you really just focus down on monotasks, they call it, so you're working on one thing at a time, you really do that one thing well, compared to if you have two or three or four different tabs open on your computer, for example. If you're switching between all of those, and we're all guilty of this, I'm certainly guilty of this, you just kind of don't get anything done, and like 3 hours to go by, and you'll look at your computer and you'll think, what have I actually done in these last 3 hours? So yeah, certainly monotasking is a hugely important thing, especially in the morning when you kind of want to continue bringing in that calm from the day anyway, and having all these tabs open is definitely not a calming experience.
Yes, and I find that the fewer people, you know, wherever they are in the country or wherever they are in the world, that have woken up or arrived at work and are able to email me or call me, I get most focused because I have fewer interruptions. And so early morning is very important for me personally, because I feel that's when it works best, because I have fewer demands and fewer calls and emails that I really have to respond to.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And actually, funnily enough, I'm actually from the UK. So before I moved here, our main website traffic is in the US. So before I moved here, I'd be working in the UK, and most people wouldn't wake up in the US until like 4 o'clock my time in the afternoon. So I could actually get quite a lot done, because there weren't these demands coming in until much later in the day my time.
So the further to the east you are, it seems like that puts me at a complete disadvantage. I'm on the west coast here, and I deal with so many east coast people, right. So I have to work with people very early in the morning and wake up at that time too. But I guess it can sort of be accounted for via planning, via an adjustment of a schedule, and possibly move to Eastern Europe for myself. we're speaking with Benjamin Spall, the author of My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. Decision fatigue is another thing that really hit home with me. I often find that I get up and I get overwhelmed with the number of things that I have to do. I haven't necessarily planned it out beforehand, and I end up engaging in the sort of context switching that I'm talking about, because there really are a bunch of things that I have to do that I haven't necessarily prioritized. And as a consequence, I'd like to make as few decisions as I possibly can. I know that we're in a world which encourages an enormous amount of personal freedom and hands the decision over to you. I think it's more convenient when you can either, one, plan those out, or two, like, have a certain amount of them just preset into your routine. As far as I'm concerned, the fewer decisions, the better.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, we talk about how decision fatigue is, you know, effectively trying to make too many decisions, or you make bad decisions because you already have all these decisions to make. So we suggest, if there are decisions you need to make in your morning, see if you can push these to your evening. So that could be choosing what outfit you're going to wear the next day, whether just for your work or like workout clothes, for example, or just kind of making lunch, all these little things that you have to make decisions around. If you can do these as part of your evening routine, they'll tell you that, first of all, they'll tell you out, which will make it easier for you to fall asleep. But it means the next morning you actually don't have to deal with these, and you can kind of start your day as more of a blank slate.
It's also the sort of thing, I suppose, that Steve Jobs was trying to avoid when mm-hmm. he came up with his black turtleneck and blue jeans uniform, huh?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we mentioned that Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, even like former presidents, obviously they often wear on suits, but they often just have maybe two suits to choose from to make it nice and easy for them.
Yes, well, the blue suit and red tie and white shirt combination certainly seems to be very much in vogue these days, for better or for worse. Obviously, you're a guy that travels a lot. I'm sure. I mean, between here and the UK, I'm sure you do book tours and things of that nature. How do you fit yourself and your routine into the fact that you may be in a different location every day?
Yeah, so I mean, if you have a very simple routine to begin with, so for example, you may work out in the morning, but that could be a morning run, or you may do some meditation. It's actually quite easy to fit that in when you travel. So if you're in a hotel room in a different city, it's very easy to meditate in the hotel room. And there are many apps nowadays. So if you like to go for a run, there are many apps that will actually show you popular running routes in the city you're in. So instead of just like running out and potentially meeting a dead end because you don't know the area, you can see where people like to run, and that typically suggests that, you know, it's a nice loop, it's something nice and easy. So that's one great way to do it when you're away. Another thing is to just forgive yourself. So if you're going away for 2 or 3 days and you really struggle with your routine, we suggest a great thing is to just focus on your sleep. So make sure you get enough sleep. That's not always possible, but you know, try your very best. And then do your best to fit in your routine, but don't worry too much if you don't. Similar to the adapting thing, if you miss it earlier, just, you know, you're in a different environment. It's tough. So just forgive yourself and then get back on it when you get home.
Yeah, and that's always a struggle for me is forgiving myself and being willing to get back to the routine once I'm in a position where I can do it again. But you have given me inspiration. I'm going to renew the effort and thank you for providing that for me and for the audience. We've been speaking with Benjamin Spall, the author of My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. Benjamin, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled smart shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908 908- 248-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. You know, in the age we live in, there are so many opportunities to be by yourself. There's so many opportunities to hole up in a room with yourself and your screen, with your smartphone, with your laptop, with your television. And it's difficult to remember sometimes that we are actually social beings that like socializing with each other, and not just in digital form. So we've decided that we're going to talk about meeting and meeting in person today. We're going to speak with Priya Parker. She is the author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. Priya, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Why is it important that we meet in groups? And by that, I don't just mean group texts.
It's extraordinarily important. We meet to help each other. We meet to relax together. We meet to heal and nurture and just, frankly, kind of unwind. And you know, part of emotional connection, all of these studies show, is things like making eye contact in a conversation. You know, 60 to 70% of a minute. In a normal conversation pre-technology, people literally looked at each other more. And now, in most conversations, even when you're in person, studies are starting to show that we're making eye contact 30 to 60% of the time, which is not enough for actually emotional connection. And we're not looking at each other because we're looking down at these phones.
That's amazing, and it's disturbing because really an enormous amount of what we convey when we talk to each other transcends verbal language. I mean, certainly voice tone as well, which you can get without looking, but you need to look at body language. You need to look at how someone is reacting visually, and an enormous amount of information gets across that way, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I wrote this book, and I part of the journey that I went on was I interviewed 100 different gatherers that don't necessarily think of themselves as gatherers, but around the world in kind of extreme context. So choreographers of Cirque du Soleil who create experiences for audience to kind of create wonder. A rabbi, a photographer that has 7 minutes with the head of state and has to figure out how to connect with him or her to kind of get the photo. People who create experiences for other people, a dominatrix, a Japanese tea master ceremony, tea ceremony master. And for each of these people, I asked, what creates magic? What creates transformation? What creates a beautiful experience for other people? And each of these gatherings, first of all, they were meeting in person. But the second was they were finding ways for people to connect with each other in real, sometimes risky, in the best sense of that word, ways so that we know each other. And, you know, in text or WhatsApp or Instagram, first of all, even when we meet in person, we wear masks. And part of the job of a great host is to figure out how can we help people safely take off some of that those masks. Obviously, masks also serve a purpose. But online, even more so, we kind of carry this the filter of my life is so great. And my life is so great is usually, A, not true, but, B, is not a great way to connect with people.
No, it breeds so many different things, you know, jealousy, misunderstanding, and we end up talking past one another so often in that way. We're speaking with Priya Parker. She is the author of The Art of the Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. Meeting in person has, in many instances, been maligned. I mean, think of the office meeting and how frequently it's said that that's a waste of time. And while that's certainly sometimes the case, and I've been in on instances where that's definitely the case, even just being together and talking in a situation like that where you're not even discussing what the agenda is has advantages because you get a sense of where the other person is and you unconsciously use that as a context for how you guide your interaction with that person and gain an understanding that you couldn't possibly gain through an email or a text.
Absolutely. I mean, much of the time, I think in part because so many of the meetings in our life aren't run well, the value in those meetings is those kind of milling around moments or the moments kind of offline, quote-unquote, where someone makes a joke or someone shares an anecdote from their life and you start understanding kind of where they're coming from. You know, I will say that I think in the work context, we over-gather and we underwhelm.
Right.
So I'm not saying continue to gather in the workplace. I actually think that if we gathered less, we would be better off.
Interesting.
We're sort of gathering when we don't need to gather and not gathering when we do. So in the workplace, you know, one of the things that I always say is first ask what the purpose of the meeting is rather than going on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And for example, if there's always a Monday morning meeting, if 1 week there's sort of not much to say, which, by the way, I think is rarely the case, we're just avoiding the things that we actually, you know, should be talking about, cancel the meeting. Or give people the time back. If you're sharing information, if it's sort of a roundup or an update, do it through a video. I mean, do it by the recorded video and have people watch it, you know, on their, or listen to it on their walk home. Give people the time back. And I say that because when you actually realize that there's a high kind of bar or a high barrier of entry to convene your colleagues, when they are convened, they'll be much more likely to show up in a way that they want to be there because they know that their time is going to be spent well.
In our personal lives, it seems like there are a lot more excuses than there used to be not to gather. I know my wife and I get together every few weeks with a group of folks at our home to play board games, and maybe that kind of harkens back to the days in which people would get together to play bridge. It seems like that's less frequent. Are people finding successfully new ways to do this, and are they doing it more or less frequently?
It's a great question. I think the perception is that people are gathering less in person. And there are organizations that core mission is to change that. So one of my favorite organizations is a company called Meetup.com. And their entire purpose, they've been around for 15 years, their entire purpose is to get people online, to get people offline, to find a group in their city. Everything from board games to LGBT widows to, Bold Betties, which is like a group of women who go on, you know, physical adventures together. You know, these are all real groups. To kind of bring back that culture of gathering for bridge and gathering with people because of all of the reasons that we don't. I think the second thing that we don't gather as much is in part because a lot of the wisdom about gathering, for whatever reason, we've outsourced for decades to experts on food or experts on etiquette or experts on flowers. And so, you know, kind of the Martha Stewart approach to gathering. And the reason why that's dangerous is because we then assume that we need those things to gather or that it's a lot of work or a lot of effort or you need to know how to cook to gather. And what I'm trying to argue in this book is no. Focus on people, not things.
Yeah.
So even if you're inviting your friends to a park and the gathering is on a picnic blanket and you have them bring their own sandwiches, but you ask a remarkable question, I recently, a woman named Jancy Dunn wrote a piece in Real Simple about gatherings, and she tried an experiment where she wanted a purposeful, specific gathering, but she did a burnt out, worn out mom's hootenanny. And it was a very specific gathering. She realized we were in conversation, and she realized she wanted to have her friends over, but I pushed her to make it more specific and purposeful and give the gathering a specific name, not just ladies' night or dinner party.
Yeah.
And she realized that as a mother of young children, she was kind of exhausted and was always taking care of kind of other people. And a friend of hers cut up a piece of a peanut butter sandwich when she was over and gave it to her for lunch, and she felt really cared for. And
right.
She realized she'd love to get together, women, and like all care for each other. So she had a worn out mom's hootenanny, ask specific questions, had a rule that like if you mention every time you mention your kids, you have to take a shot. And had this sort of a playful evening with a very specific purpose. And as she writes, she invited six or seven of her mom friends and called it the worn out mom's hootenanny, and everyone responded within an hour, and it was a beautiful evening.
Right, and when you have gatherings like that, you know, you don't need Martha Stewart, because you find it in your group that you're going to have a number of Martha Stewarts there who have expertise in different fields, and you can connect on the basis of people as opposed to things and shows, as you say. We've been speaking
completely, and I think in her email she specifically said we're going to do takeout, so none of us are preparing before this, and so it's not that
smart.
Food doesn't nourish us, it does, but it shouldn't be the only focus, and it doesn't create magic between people alone.
Right. It's definitely about the connection. Priya Parker, the author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters, thank you so much for being with us and meeting with our audience today. All the best.
Happy
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy Friday!
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two. Get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket? That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Joe Lombardo released the Las Vegas Police Department's final report regarding the October 1st shooting on the Las Vegas Strip. Lombardo said investigators have been unable to determine Stephen Paddock's motive for the shooting.
Without a manifesto or even a note to answer questions, the totality of the information that has been gathered leaves us to only make an educated guess as to the motives of Stephen Paddock. Today is still incredibly difficult to try to comprehend this senseless act of violence.
The economy added 157,000 jobs in July, The unemployment rate was down to 3.9%. Larry Kudlow is President Trump's director of the National Economic Council. He reacts to the job numbers.
I think this is a strong number. But the trends are really interesting. Just some notes here. 224,000 average monthly for the last 3 months.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at Walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Today is day four of the Paul Manafort case. Manafort is again on trial for bank and tax fraud. The prosecutors are once again trying to prove he was a man who led a double life and was hiding money from the U.S. government in numerous accounts overseas. The former head of South Carolina's Republican Party makes a bizarre confession about killing his mother's dog. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
Simpsonville, South Carolina police say he told them that he choked, stabbed, and mutilated his mother's 10-year-old beagle mix last week because God told him to do so. Police also say 37-year-old Todd Kincannon told them he was the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Republican activist was general counsel and executive director for the state GOP in 2009. Now he'll be charged with animal cruelty after evaluation at a mental hospital. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
An anti-violence march in Chicago briefly closed Lakeshore Drive as protesters demonstrated for a call of action against the city's crime crisis and called for Mayor Rahm Emanuel to step down. The protesters marched all the way to Wrigley Field, and many of them voiced their concerns regarding the mayor's policies.
Because we're citizens and our ancestors built this country.
He got some good things, but I think he don't step up and come to the people where the crime is. You know what I'm saying? The crime is on the south side and the west side.
We have to make sure that President Trump recognized that not everyone believes that Chicago is a Trump-free zone. If he's serious about helping the people in Chicago, especially on the west side of Chicago, I accept his help. We can't turn any help away. We have to make sure that people understand that criminals cannot have their way with our streets. We have to protect our youth, we have to protect our seniors, and people have to have safe places to walk. And so, you know, one murder is too many. And so if Chicago Police Department and all the other law enforcements can't do it, we should seek other help.
Chicago police say the city has 252 homicides and 1,100 shootings in the first 6 months of 2018. And finally, it was back on this date in 1492 when Italian explorer Christopher Columbus set sail with the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Los Angeles area leaders saying good riddance, as we hear from Mike Watts.
City Councilman Mitch O'Farrell took to Twitter yesterday to call Manson a pathetic, cowardly con man who should be remembered for that alone. The president of the Los Angeles Association of Deputy District Attorneys, Michelle Hennessy, says Manson's prosecutor said it best when he called him an evil, sophisticated con man with twisted and warped moral values. Manson died last night at a Bakersfield hospital at the age of 83.
President Trump says he should have left the UCLA basketball players arrested in China in jail on shoplifting charges. He sounded off after LeVar Ball, the father of one of the players, downplayed Trump's efforts to free his son. Cosby Show actor Earl Hyman has died. He was 91. He had played Cliff Huxtable's father from 1984 to 1992. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Congresswoman Debbie Dingell revealing last week that she's a victim of sexual harassment on Capitol Hill. The Michigan Democrat says a prominent historical person groped her and that a former senator acted inappropriately towards her as well, although she has not revealed any names. She does speak on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, saying,
"There are women across the country, restaurant workers, tip waitresses, factory floors, law firms, corporations. So I don't know a woman that doesn't have a story."
On the same program, Virginia Congresswoman Barbara Comstock again accused some sitting male lawmakers of sexual harassment and misconduct, referring to one particular allegation when a male lawmaker exposed himself to a female staffer. Moves are in place in Congress to require mandatory sexual harassment training of everyone. Meanwhile, actor Jeffrey Tambor is apparently leaving his show Transparent after sexual harassment allegations were lodged against him. Tambor releasing a statement detailing how it's been an honor to play the transgender character Maura Pfefferman, but that the show isn't what he signed up for years ago. So far, Tambor faces two sexual harassment allegations. And Oakland Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch yesterday sat during the Star Spangled Banner but stood during the Mexican national anthem before the game in Mexico City against the New England Patriots. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the 100 County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in 100 County. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100 County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The time is 9:05. It's time for 100 Chamber Radio weather right now in Flemington. It is 39 degrees and clear skies. There's no rain in the forecast today. Today is Monday and it's November 20th, 2017. Some clouds this morning will give way to generally sunny skies for the afternoon. A high of 46, winds west at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Clear to partly cloudy with a low of 42 tonight. Winds light and variable. And some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon, a high of 56, winds south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. On Wednesday, sunshine along with some clouds, intervals, and a high of 49. Turkey Day, sunshine and some clouds, 42. Black Friday, mainly sunny, 48. Small Business Saturday, partly cloudy early, followed by increasing clouds with showers developing later in the day, and a high of 51. Partly sunny on Sunday, 41, and Cyber Monday, sunny skies, 38. Temperatures in the area, 39 in Raritan, 38 in Kingwood, 37 at the County Complex, 38 in Frenchtown, 37 in Phillipsburg, 39 in Lebanon, and 35 in Tewksbury. That is Good Morning 100 and 100 Chamber Radio weather.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, it's hard to believe it's already late November and we're going to hit Turkey Day, and then it's time to start thinking about... Yeah, that's Christmas, and this is a pretty good jazzy version of it. Got some friends here from the Huntington Hills Playhouse. We're going to talk about the upcoming Christmas show, and some of them, one's the director, a couple of singers, so looking forward to having this chat. I'm on the early part of the Christmas experience, so I'm not tapped out yet, so looking forward to this conversation. So let's bring our folks in. Yeah, Rachel, Justin, and we're going to say hello. Hi, how are you doing, Rachel? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on in. Now, I heard in organizing this, normally you guys are trucking in on Mondays, but somehow you were in early yesterday, right?
In early to the...
The folks who are in the plays normally come in from the city into... Huntington County on Monday, but somehow this week you were on Sunday.
Oh, yes. We've been going now for a while, so we've been in town for a few weeks now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, great. And Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having
this
me.
This is awesome. So, and then Ken is here. Ken was here last time to promote the previous show. How are you, Ken? You're gonna
good. Good to see you again, Chris.
Your microphone's up there.
Oh,
the elbow bends this way.
There's no mic on.
Oh, what happened to the mic? Okay. I'll have to put that back. Somebody stole it when I was out.
I fell for that last time.
So far, we've locked you out of the door. We've left you in the parking lot. And now I took your microphone away.
I can take a hint.
It's Monday.
So the Christmas show. It's this is awesome. I've been a patron of it. Numerous times. It's a great feel-good environment. Huntington Hills Playhouse is always a great feel-good environment because it's very homey and good food and great acting and great music. So looking forward to having this chat. So I always start in the beginning. Before we get to the actual event that we're trying to highlight, I'd like to find out a little bit about who we're talking with and how you got involved. So, Justin, I'm going to let you start. So... you are a part of the show, so give us a little hint as to what your role is in the show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's about there's 8 cast members in the show. There's 4 guys and 4 girls. And I think we all just are there to just spread holiday cheer, basically. So we all sing and dance throughout the entire show. It's 2 hours of nonstop singing and dancing, and it is just full of, like... Right. It's full of classics that we all know, and it's full of a few songs that people may not know, and a little comedy, and a few just beautiful moments throughout the entire show.
So it's a variety show.
Definitely a variety show, a review show.
Review. And is there any particular thread to it in terms of start to finish, or are we just going to showcase all different acts and musical songs that we recognize?
I think there's several different sections throughout the show. Okay. We do have a beautiful sacred section that we do at the end of the show. There's a fun skit that we do in the middle of the show about Santa Claus, and you have to come to see it in order to believe it. There's quite a few Santas on stage.
All right.
It's just a lot of fun. There's something for everyone in this show.
Excellent.
So the thread is Christmas.
Yeah,
the thread is Christmas.
Definitely.
There you go. It's pretty easy to put together, and there's tons of pieces out there to draw from. Justin, when what is your you sing obviously? So if I was going to classify you as a tenor bass, I imagine you're a tenor.
Yes, I'm a tenor.
Okay. And when did music come into your life?
Oh, my gosh. Probably about when I was 9 or 10 years old. I don't have a memory of not performing. Like my mom said, I used to run around the house with a brush, you know, singing into the brush. So I was that kid. And I was immediately put into piano lessons and anything that would curve all my energy or whatever. So I've been singing and dancing since... since I can remember, since I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, so I was always involved growing up in plays and in all the singing and dance competitions and things around the neighborhood all the time.
Nine's pretty late, though. That's pretty interesting. Nine,
it is late. I actually didn't even start taking voice formally until I was 14.
Oh boy! Okay. So you were learning on
on
the fly there for about five years.
Yeah, my family was finally like, we should put him in something for real now.
they held out long enough.
Yeah,
to see
they're
it
like,
was
oh,
a
fan. He really likes this. Let's see, what we can do.
Very
with
cool,
it.
Rachel. When was music in your life?
Oh man, I think really from the beginning. I'm the youngest of three kids.
Okay.
And so I grew up kind of the ham of my family. So we have all these home videos of me dressing up as princesses and all these different characters and singing around the house. So right. From a really young age I was singing and working the audience.
Working the audience.
Yeah.
So uncles and aunts had to give change or something like that to get you there?
No, well, yeah, I guess at the beginning. Then when I got a little older, I started to get more shy. And so now it's like we'll go to family events and people will be like, will you sing? And I'll go, no.
That's fine. I know exactly that feeling. Somehow they you know, you did it for all that time. And then as you got better and better at it, you kept pushing them off. And saying,
yeah.
Got to come to the show. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
here
exactly.
Not free.
It's not free
come
anymore.
Come to Huntington Hills Playhouse and sing in the
show.
Go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, what kind of affinity for music did you have early on? Was it pop music? Was it classical music? Was it jazz? What was it?
You know, I really think it was show tunes. Mm-hmm. I would run around the house singing Disney songs and. I watched a lot of the old, like, Rodgers and Hammerstein movie musicals, so I would pretend I was Maria von Trapp and all the all these characters. And I really think it was show tunes. And then I guess more into high school, I started to get into more pop music, classical music. I'm kind of all over the place. If you looked at my iPhone, if you looked at my iPod, the music I have, it's a smattering of different genres.
There you go.
But
very
yeah,
cool.
I mean, musical theater is where my heart's at.
All right. And Justin, what would you say?
I think I started with pop music. I started I just remember as a kid watching like Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson and Diana Ross, who I love, who was honored last night on the American Music Awards. So I grew up watching them and just wanting to be like them. I wanted to be their backup dancer, their backup singer. And then I remember in high school, I probably was about 14 or 15 when I went on my first trip to New York City. And I saw my first Broadway show, which was Les Mis at the time. And that's when I was like, oh, what are they doing? And how can I do exactly what they're doing as soon as possible? So for me, it was started out with pop music, but then I saw my first Broadway show, and I just, like, the lights just literally came on. I was like, oh, ding dong, that's ding what dong. I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing. And it was as easy as pie, right? So you just said,
it
I'm doing it.
It seemed that way. Like, when I discovered it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's going to be easy, great. I'm going to be a huge star, yeah.
I'm here. I'm here. Right?
Sign me up. Where do I sign up?
what about in terms of dance? What was your, was it tap? Was it jazz?
I did tap, jazz, and ballet. When I started voice at 14, I remember my voice coach, I went to a studio in Memphis called Performing Arts, and my voice coach immediately told my parents, if he wants to be successful, you're going to have to enroll him into dance yesterday.
Yeah.
Like absolutely right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah. Like you, I said, you started late.
Yeah, I started late. So,
and these
so
are
that's
hard. Piano and dance.
Yeah.
And
the great thing was my parents were our good listeners. So, yeah, so when good. She told them that, they literally were like, okay, we'll do what, you know, they just followed suit. And I immediately was in tap, jazz, and ballet and voice full time. From then on.
So I'll give you a little history lesson here. Mm-hmm. Right across the street is you can see the library right out there. Mm-hmm. Guess who took lessons
who?
Just behind that?
Who?
Paul Robeson.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
He used to come from Princeton and would take lessons right there.
Oh my gosh.
So that's so there you have it. We capture our small nuggets
I
of history.
See. Right? Yeah.
So very neat. The only thing you weren't late on, Justin, was voice, because male voice, it's going to take a while,
mm-hmm.
so you could start actually later,
yeah.
But all those other things were so much harder to...
Well, sometimes, actually, boys can start a little bit later in the dance department,
yeah.
too,
because yep.
Girls are always upset because the boys come in and we just happen to be more athletic. A little bit quicker than the girls.
Right.
And they're like, you just started doing this yesterday.
Didn't know we're going to have a battle of the sexes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted
how
to throw that in there.
Excellent. All right. So we're talking to Justin and Rachel and learning about the Christmas show over at the Hunter Hills Playhouse. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of WHCR Good Morning Hunter and Show right after these messages.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it!
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and on Huntshipper.com. We have Justin and Rachel talking about the Hunter and Hills Playhouse Christmas show. It's going to be playing during the season. If you're trying to get in the mood for a review of music and some Christmas and holiday event and some food around a table and can't stand the family, bring them all to Hunter and Hills Playhouse and enjoy the ambiance and the environment. So we were talking a little bit, guys, about how you all got started. How did, Justin, how did somebody from Tennessee wind up in Hunterdon?
Well, so I moved to New York City about, I want to say, 13 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been living in New York City, and I've been doing shows all over. I've done a couple of Broadway tours and a few cruise ships and things like that as a lead singer and dancer. And I actually planned on taking the year off and not performing this year. Right. But our director, Don, found me this summer. So I ended up coming in this summer to do the summer show that we did earlier this summer. And then I decided to stick around. I like the people around here. So
how did you get to New York? When you were studying down in Tennessee, right? That's where you grew up? Did you do a lot of traveling back then, or was you pretty much homebound? And
I was homebound, but I was, like I told you, when I did that first trip to New York, I saw what I wanted, and I was like immediately.
That was it.
That was it, and I've always been that type
of fear,
person.
No fear, huh?
No, not pretty much no fear. Like I told my parents, I was like, so, you know, as soon as I walk across the stage to get the diploma, and New York City is probably the next stop, and my parents were like, okay, so that was that, you know.
Okay, so
I came to New York when I did a cruise ship first. I did work for Royal Caribbean as a lead singer straight out of high school.
Nice.
And then I moved to New York, and I immediately started working. And I did a little weird path. I did a couple of shows. I did a Broadway tour, Smokey Joe's Cafe. And when I was on that tour, I figured out that maybe there's a few things that I – neglected to learn or pick up on. So
humble.
then I became humble. Yeah, so I decided to go back to school, and I went to school in New York City, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
Nice.
Just to pick up a few little skills.
The biz.
Yeah.
If you're humble enough.
Definitely.
Biz is that you're always going to learn. Mm-hmm. You might learn formally, or you might learn informally, but almost the great way to sabotage a career is to think you've got it. There you go. That's it.
I mean, I do think I've got it, but I do think I can pick up a few extra things along the way.
Sounds like a
I'm free to pick up a few extra things.
Excellent. Gotcha. Rachel, how did you wind up in Hunterdon County?
So I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then...
Oh, yeah, it's around the corner.
Exactly. Not too far. And then I went to school at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas.
Because that's
just kind of gradually making my way over. And I actually just graduated this past May. I did a Shakespeare festival there, and then in September moved to New York City. And I guess I was there for about a month and a half. And then I saw an audition posting for this Christmas review and sent a tape in. And here we are. So
okay. So you haven't been working over this part of the world for very long.
No. Yeah. I'm pretty new to the East Coast.
So. Why New York versus the Hollywood L.A. coast?
Mostly for the theater community. I think I've always kind of been drawn to New York City. I think L.A. is my two older siblings went to school right outside of L.A., so I've been there quite a bit.
Okay.
And I love it. It's sunny and beautiful, but it's just a different market.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on, as a person and as an artist, what you are looking for and what you want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And New York just offered a lot more opportunities for what I was looking for.
No doubt. It's over the top. I guess the only other place you could compare it to would be London, right?
I think so.
For sure.
There's just so much more opportunity, the melting pot of the music industry The community is just so vast and so big that there's so many different lanes that you can go into from New York City.
Is it still, is showbiz in New York, despite the fact it's vast, still a small group? Do you know a lot of folks?
I think it's very small. I think it's super tiny. As big as it is, I think it's super tiny because there's always, you know, we always say don't burn your bridges because you're always going to run into someone again. Sure. And that community in New York City, that theater community, is it gets smaller by the second because everyone knows everyone, like, you know, and it is all about knowing people. So
Sure.
Especially in a city that feels like you're just swimming in people. Mm-hmm. It is incredible. I mean, I've only been here for a few months, but every time I meet a new person, I somehow have a connection through somebody else. So it's incredible. Yeah.
Well, that's great. You're teaching us a great lesson, and my listeners a great lesson about the concept of networking, and I talk about it all the time from a business point of view, but you guys have to live it. That's the only way you get doors open.
It's our life every day, you know. Yeah. I think that once you get to New York City and you graduate with all these degrees in theater acting classes and things like that, at the end of the day, all of that really does just is not important anymore. Nope. It's more about who you know, who you connect with, who you created a good relationship with. It's about and also it really is about type. It's all about, you know, how you look and if you fit the mold or whatever. So
talent, you obviously have to have
but most people in that pool do have the talent,
right?
You know, so it's also when you're moving to New York, I know a lot of people get a little frustrated with the process of auditioning and showing up to all these calls with hundreds and hundreds of people. And, you know, they get to this place of thinking, you know, I'm not good enough or I don't have the right talent. It's not about talent anymore once you get up there.
No,
you already
got the call to go there. But it's so funny you brought up the it's not typecasting, it's not the right word, but the character that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some picture in their mind and you may or may not possess those characteristics
for that particular
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching in the Actor's Studio, and Dustin Hoffman was talking about that. There were so many students that were sitting in the audience saying, you know, I keep going to calls, and I'm not getting a call. And he says, how did you get your breakthrough? He says, well, the director's looking for a balding, heavy-set person with glasses, and he was describing that particular individual, and that's bingo. That's how it happens.
That's how it happens.
So you have to. How do you guys keep your motivation up? Because it's just a ton of rejection. It's just rejection all the time. So, what are your little techniques to continue to press on?
I know for me, I've been in the city for quite some time. I try to just, I have a theater community of friends that I hang out with all the time. And we just constantly try to uplift each other. We're constantly enjoying the things that New York City has to offer and just staying uplifted. You have to tell yourself, I mean, it is a mental game. You do have to tell yourself that, you know, tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And I have the goods. And you just have to keep pushing. It's a thing of literally keep pushing until that latch hooks into the right spot, you know?
Right.
And just, you know, I always tell people also that you have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So you have to always be prepared and ready for whatever opportunity may come your way because you never know when it's coming.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's coming, but you still have to be there and present every time.
There you go. Put your best foot forward.
And one day it's going to push on through.
So much of it is just perseverance, and of course just having people surrounding you that help you stay grounded and feeling like you're rooted, I guess, is so important, but then also having different projects that you're working on personally and artistically that are good outlets. Like, I've discovered that songwriting is a great outlet for me.
Nice.
So, you know, you can go home at the end of the day, even if you've had a bad audition or lots of rejection, and then, you know, put pen to paper, pick up a guitar, and finish something. But, yeah, so much of it is just you just keep going.